This business news podcast is supported by Hopgood Ganham Lawyers. Our knowledge and expertise has been delivering exceptional outcomes for nearly 50 years.
Peter Dutton remains open to having a more cooperative relationship with Mark McGowan going forward, despite the Premier having called his intelligence into question less than a month ago. Mr Dutton was elected opposition leader following the Coalition's defeat at the last federal election, in which Labor romped to victory and the notionally blue-ribbon seat of Curtin fell to a Teal independent. His rise to the top job was met with poor polling in WA and harsh words from Mr McGowan, who labelled the Queenslander an extremist who was not that smart. But Mr Dutton appeared unfazed by the insults, calling them water off a duck's back at the time. He repeated that sentiment today in his first appearance in WA as opposition leader, leaving the door open to having a more constructive relationship with the Premier in the coming years. Mr Dutton arrived in WA this morning for the Federal Opposition's first shadow cabinet meeting since the May election. The state was once a bastion of Liberal strength, with the likes of Matthias Cormann, Christian Porter and Julie Bishop having held top ministerial jobs during the Coalition government's nine-year tenure. And in other news, the federal court has cleared the way for private equity giant Blackstone Group to take over the troubled Crown Resorts business, the last major hurdle for the $8.9 billion acquisition to go ahead. It's expected that former HBF CEO John van der Whelen will chair the board of the Perth-based entity that is ultimately responsible for the WA casino licence, as well as join the board of the new parent company, which will oversee Crown's assets in Australia and overseas. The court decision to give the go-ahead for the scheme of arrangement agreed to by Crown shareholders follows approval from casino regulators in New South Wales, Victoria and, late last week, from the Gaming and Wagering Commission of WA. Separately, Racing and Gaming Minister Tony Booty approved Blackstone's proposed ownership of Burswood Limited, which oversees casino licence holder Burswood Nominees. Mr van der Whelen has so far declined to comment on the role, but sources have confirmed he will play a significant part. His predecessor in that role, John Poynton, came under fire in various royal commissions focused on Crown, which raised questions about the governance at state and national levels and exposed interference in management and board decision-making by James Packer, who controlled the casino owner's biggest shareholder. Crown shareholders will be paid $13.10 per Crown share on the implementation date of the scheme, which is expected to be June 24 of this year. And BP will take the lead on what is touted to become one of the world's largest renewable energy hubs after the oil and gas giant took a stake in the Asian renewable energy hub in the Pilbara. BP announced this morning it had bought a 40.5% share and secured operatorship of the proposed green energy development, which is set to be located on the coastal wetlands near 80 Mile Beach between Broome and Port Hedland. Should it come to fruition, BP says the operation could support up to 26 gigawatts of combined solar and wind power generating capacity. That's about a third of all electricity generated in Australia in 2020, according to research cited by BP. It is also slated to produce 1.6 million tonnes of green hydrogen, or about 9 million tonnes of green ammonia each year. More than 20,000 hectares of land would need to be cleared to make way for wind turbines and solar panels out of a 660,000 hectare development envelope. While an exact dollar figure is yet to be pinned down for the project, reported costs are between $25 billion and $50 billion. But before the hub can proceed, the consortium controlling it will need to resubmit an environmental proposal.
Hopgood Ganham Lawyers is one of Australia's leading independent legal advisory firms. For nearly 50 years, our knowledge and expertise has delivered exceptional outcomes for our clients, giving them the most accurate, appropriate, and usable guidance. We invest time and expertise to build trusted alliances with our clients and to understand their commercial drivers, which enables us to deliver over and above what a traditional legal firm offers. To find out what we can do for you, visit hopgoodganham.com.au. Hopgood Ganham Lawyers. exceptional outcomes.
We in the newsroom last week had so much fun with the Ricardo Rizzi story and the story about how you got to it, Mark, how you found out about it, what you found out about this gentleman, that we've gone back for a second bite of the cherry. And we've looked at another property developer in our latest edition who people may not know very well, and that's a gentleman by the name of Tony Panaccione. Can you tell me a bit about this individual?
And look, I didn't know him at all. And property developer, it's an accurate term, but not in the way we would use it, because he has developed a property. Right, really. Look, I honestly saw this. I saw an ad for this thing called Golden Ponds. And I thought, and it was nearly 40 hectares of land in Baldiva. So not really that, not even on the edge of the city anymore, really. Baldivis is part of it. And I was looking at this aerial photo. I'm thinking, what on earth is this? I've never heard of this. I'm going to go down there and find out about it. So I ended up teeing up a time to catch up with the owner, Tony Panaccione, who was got this on the market. And it's not just property on the market. It's a integrated hospitality, accommodation, and wholesale food operation. It even has a mini supermarket on the site. But in effect, he got into fish farming about 30 years ago. Fish farming and recreational fishing, two things he thought he wanted to be involved in. He'd bought some land, an old sheep farm. It had big pits on it, clay pits, which had been dug to service the neighbouring Alcoa property, which needed to, you know, do dams and things like that. And of course, clay pits hold the water beautifully. So, and there's plenty of water out there. It's low lying. So it's a very, it's got loads and it's got, I don't know, 15 little lakes or something on this property. And over the last 30 years, he's built this operation. Most of it, like some of the key stuff, was done quite early. So he built a 400 person venue, function venue, back in the very late 90s. And, you know, so it's a function centre. It's got 50-odd units of accommodation. It's got a caravan park that, you know, with 65 campsites. It's got, you can fish for silver perch and barramundi and, you know, you can play super golf. And then on the other side, and it's got a little supermarket, as I mentioned. And in the supermarket, they've got fish in, you can net them and take live fish if you can't be bothered going and reeling them in and paying for a recreational fish. And then in some sheds there, he's got the capacity to produce, let's just say, around about 50,000 fish a year, plate-sized fish a year, which he sells into the restaurant trade. And look, what a colourful character, mate. Just, you know, very, very colourful. And I think what I found when I talked to him was it wasn't really about the property. It's about this labour of love and how he's just a bloke who just goes at it his own way and has done in previous stuff, you know, previous career.
Which he sold potatoes, didn't he?
Well, that was one thing, yeah. And I think if, and look, I don't know that the grocery supply business too well. So, but I would suspect that if he's known well in Perth, it would be people of a certain era who, yes, he was sort of like pre-Tony Galati and, you know, the Spud Shed thing. And he never went, from my understanding, I don't think he went retail with potato like that, but he did supply potatoes. So he got in, well, actually he was a rock lobster fisherman initially and did that for a while. That was his early career. And then they went, and then he was in the fruit and veg business, or fruit anyway, quality fruit wholesaling. But he got into potatoes and I think he was in there for quite a long time, supplied the big players, you know, and then he got into making chips, you know, or, you know, the raw, you know, processed potatoes in, you know, chips. And look, what I love talking to Tony is it was just like, he's just one of those people who it's entrepreneurial and also just salt of the earth, just gets into trouble all the time with, you know, like the authorities didn't like his chip. He was, you know, they didn't want him the wastewater from cleaning potatoes, which I'm thinking is pretty inert. And, you know, and he said they removed the starch from it anyway, but no, you couldn't do that. So he he kind of got closed down, and I'm sure he's the guy who kind of folds his arms and goes, I'm not dealing with that. And he's had a lot of those instances. He told me a lot about a time when, you know, he ended up in this big fight with one of the big retailers, you know, like one of the big ones, because they wanted to give away potatoes and they wanted them done in a special way. And he worked all weekend to get this done. And he knew it was going to be, he thought it was a disaster, but he did what they asked. And then when things didn't work out, they tried to fine him. And it was $1,000, he said, which was, you know, really nothing. But he was so peeved, he just pulled his business from one of the two big, you know, and he's that kind of guy. I can see it and sense it and understand it. And he's had those kind of instances as well at Golden Ponds. But he said he's 76 and he's ready. He has to sell. He said, you know, at his age, he doesn't know what's going to happen in the next 10 years. You can see he works from dawn till dusk running this place. He's got a very small team and he knows the place back to front. He's hoping to sell it as a going concern, hoping someone will come along and either run it or even develop it more. But the land sits in a pocket right next to Stockland, has 400 hectares around it. So there is also the opportunity potentially that it could be just developed for housing. And his developed part on the land is only about a quarter or a third of it, I think. I can't remember, but it's not. So it's only one corner of it. There's still a number of hectares there, you know, probably 20 or 25, 30 hectares that are available for property development should anyone want it.
Time will tell who the next property developer Ewollum Mask is. Mark, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We understand that business relies on being informed. That's why Business News is your most reliable source of news, industry insights, and business connections. To stay fully informed, we encourage you to subscribe to our emails, flick through our magazine, and visit businessnews.com.au for daily news updates. It's the best way to ensure you have the information you need to be future ready. Business News. More news, more insights, more connections.
This Business News podcast is supported by Hopgood Ganham Lawyers. Our knowledge and expertise has been delivering exceptional outcomes for nearly 50 years.
This podcast was brought to you by Optus Stadium, now taking orders for your next breakfast or lunch meeting.
If you like what you've heard, head to our Spotify page to like and subscribe. New episodes of At Close of Business are available every day in time for our afternoon wrap. I'm Jordan Murray. See you tomorrow.